I'm back in the centre of Hull in Queen Victoria Square, and I'm actually very nervous. I want to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I feel like I've never done it before, but I've done it on thousands of occasions in the open air. And unlike the previous two occasions, the place is heaving with people. Shops opened this week, and there are long queues outside the shops, and people are just getting out. It's sunny, it's warm, it's pleasant. And it's also a testimony to the fact that despite the fact that there is a royal funeral taking place, people have chosen to shop instead of stay at home and watch the funeral on their televisions. But I make no further comment on that. So we're here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We love the Lord Jesus, and we long for others to come to know him as well. We have strong confidence that God will take and use his word as he sees fit. And we have every confidence that God is just as able to save souls today as ever he was. So let's commit this time to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would remember me in my weakness, and the desire, heart's desire of this work is that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would be lifted up, that the cross of Jesus Christ would be preached, that sinners would hear the glad tidings of salvation, and that they would turn from their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of their souls. Sorry. As with so many occasions, I think the pigeons just got me. Now, I say that not because it's funny, but because it happens when you preach the gospel that the enemy sometimes is able to send pigeons to distract you and to do what pigeons do. And the reason I'm including this is because if any of you out there wish to preach the gospel, and I hope there are people who do, that you will not be put off by Satan's attacks, and that you will continue to serve God in this way. You don't seem to be too badly affected by the bombing, but we'd rather it hadn't happened. So, Father, bless the preaching of your word and use this for your glory. Father, have mercy upon the people of Hull. Have mercy on people who are perishing, who are desperate to shop, but not desperate for salvation. People who are keen on the goods of this world, but have no thought for their souls. Father, have mercy upon those who are perishing all around us, and pour out your Holy Spirit on this city of Hull. Pour out your Holy Spirit on men and women and children, and save souls. Have mercy upon them, and oh Lord, give utterance to your servant who's preaching your gospel now, I pray. Father, have mercy, and glorify your name, glorify your Son, as the gospel is preached. And this I ask and pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Quick clearing of the throat. Well, good afternoon. It's a privilege to be here again in Queen Victoria Square, Hull, to preach the gospel of God concerning his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Saviour of the world. The Lord Jesus being that only one who can deliver us from the wrath to come and give us everlasting life. There is none other name given amongst, under heaven, given amongst men, whereby we must be saved. It is the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or there is no other name. Only one person can save us. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. Sinners like you and me, we have a soul. There is a judgment after death. There is a wrath to come. There is a hell to come. And we need to flee from that wrath. And we need to flee from that hell to the only one who can save us, to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into this world to save sinners. Now I'm going to read from the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. And what Scripture says, God says. And we are wise if we read the Bible, because the Bible itself is able to give us wisdom, to make us wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Jesus Christ. So I'm reading from the Gospel of Matthew, one of the four Gospels in the New Testament in the Bible. And I'm reading just a few words here from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. And I'm going to read just from verse 24 to verse 28 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now I think these are very prophetic words. I'm actually going to change my position. I think I could be preaching better just a bit over here. So I'm not ashamed to do that or afraid to do that. The acoustics weren't perfect where I was standing, so I'll go and stand over here. The problem over here is that it's in bright sunshine and I don't cope well with sunshine, but we're not here to worry about our own needs. We're here to serve the Lord, to take up our cross daily and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we are at a better location, and I hope this will work out for the better communication of the word. So we're reading here in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. I'm just going to recapitulate in verses 26 and 27 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, where we read, For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. It's instructive that this afternoon the Duke of Edinburgh is being buried. And it's instructive also that the town centre is full of people who are obviously not concerned to watch the funeral on their televisions, if they have a TV licence, that is. Some of us don't, because we don't like the BBC. But that man had great privileges in his life. And most of us don't have anything like that in our lives. But the truth is that every single one of us must one day stand before the judgment throne of Jesus Christ and give an account. And when a man like the Duke of Edinburgh dies, the Bible says he must go to judgment, just like we all must go to judgment. And on the day of judgment, it will not matter what privileges we have had or not had in this life. Every one of us will be judged according to our deeds. Every one of us will be judged according to the law of God. You might think of the mighty people in this world. You might think of the great people in this world. You might think of the rulers of this world, of the rich of this world, of the powerful in this world. But they are tiny before Almighty God. They are nothing. Even the nations are as a drop in a bucket. They're less than the fine dust upon the balances. You see, every single one of us must stand before the judgment throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it won't matter in that day whether we were rich or poor, whether we were famous or whether we were obscure. It won't matter whether we were young or old, healthy or ill. It won't matter whether we lived in England or in Scotland or in Wales or in any other country of the world. The only thing that can save us from our sins is the gospel of Jesus Christ, is turning to the Lord Jesus Christ, casting ourselves upon him, and giving ourselves to him. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. The Apostle Paul tells us, and he added, of whom I am chief. The Apostle Paul, that great apostle who wrote so much of the New Testament, considered himself the very chief of sinners and the very least of saints, yet he was a man saved from his sin. We read in the Bible that Paul was riding to Damascus to persecute Christians. There are many Christians being persecuted today throughout the world. It's going to come to this country because we are losing our freedoms. But you see, Paul was riding to Damascus, and on that Damascus road, the Lord Jesus met with Paul. And he had to acknowledge that the very Saviour that he was persecuting, the very God of all glory, seated on the throne of heaven, whom he was persecuting, is the Saviour of the world. Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. And we are lost. We are damned. We are ruined. You could live in a palace. You could have a private yacht. You could have an enormous bank balance. You could be famous. You could have ever so many servants. And it would avail you absolutely nothing before the throne of Almighty God. He will say, why did you lie? Why did you steal? Why did you swear? Why did you curse? Why did you blaspheme? Why was your heart full of wickedness, sexual immorality, and sin? You see, God looks at the heart. He doesn't look at the bank balance. Death is a great leveler. And my dear friends, at death, every one of us will be equal. Every one of us. And God is no respecter of persons. And if God will not respect the person of a prince who dies, neither will he respect your person or my person. We cannot be saved by our own works. There is nothing in us that can please Almighty God. Only knowing Jesus Christ, only knowing him according to this book, the Bible, only that saves us from our sin. There's no one else. We need somebody who's paid the penalty for sin. We need somebody who has laid down his life, who could do that in our place, and that is Jesus Christ. It's no good crossing yourself. That won't help you. You need to know Jesus Christ. Because only Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has paid that penalty for sin. His blood on the cross of Calvary was shed for the remission of sins. You see, only the blood of Jesus Christ can take away our sin. When John saw the Lord Jesus Christ descending into the River Jordan in order to be baptized, John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. No one else can take your sin away. No one else can enable you to stand on the day of God's wrath. No one else can give you everlasting life. No one else can deliver you from the fires of hell. You see, here we are today, we're all so concerned about shopping. We're glad that the shops are open. We're all very glad that the shops are open. But Jesus tells us that a man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. The Duke of Edinburgh had an abundance of possessions, more than he could ever possibly know what to do with, I'm sure. But none of that will help him on the day of judgment. None of it. And it won't help us either. Nothing we have. No fashion, no label, no television, no radio, no computer, None of these things commend us in the eyes of God. We are utterly damned, utterly ruined, utterly corrupt, utterly under the wrath and condemnation of Almighty God on account of our sin. We are ruined on account of our paganism. Because paganism is an abomination to Almighty God. There's a young woman there coming past saying she was a pagan, so that's why I said that. Hello, yes. Well, it's very kind of you to offer, but I don't generally eat while I'm preaching. Thank you so much for asking.
I'm so sorry.
It's very generous of you. Thank you. I would encourage you to read the Bible for yourself and find the Lord Jesus Christ. Good, good. Read it, read it. Having a Bible at home isn't enough. You need to read it. You need to pore over it. And you need to seek God until you find him in Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is that Saviour of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, he was without sin, he was pure, he was holy. The Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, never broke the commandments of God. The Lord Jesus Christ always did that which was pleasing to his heavenly Father. The Lord Jesus being the Son of God and the Saviour of the world. And oh, my dear friends, the Lord Jesus did not have to die for sinners, but God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The three persons of the Holy Trinity, one eternal God, but three persons within the Godhead. Three persons within the Godhead, they determined before the foundation of the world that the Lord Jesus should come into the world and bear the sins of many, that he should die upon that cross, that he should be taken by cruel hands and nailed to that cross, that he should lay down his life, that he should give himself. And you see the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is that Saviour, the only Saviour sent by God. He was pure. He was holy. He was without sin. Yet he became sin for us. God made him sin. He became sin on the cross. And as Jesus Christ was nailed to that cross, the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for sinners. He was pure and perfect and holy, but he became sin for us. So that as a Christian, I can say that my sin was laid upon Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world. That the Lord Jesus Christ took my sin upon himself. All of it, in all its vileness, in all its filth, in all its corruption, the Lord Jesus took my sin upon himself and died in my place. He died in the place of sinners. He suffered in the place of sinners. The wrath of God was poured out on Jesus Christ when he hung upon that cross and died in the place of sinners. And we are all, every one of us, sinners. And God looks at the heart. He knows us through and through. And he says that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. You see, hell is a real place, a place of everlasting, unending, inescapable, terrifying. Hell is a place of terrible torment. And it's that place to which we will certainly go if we do not know Jesus. You can be buried in a military funeral. You can be buried with the people of the world watching. But that makes absolutely no difference before God. The question is, what have you done with the Lord Jesus Christ? The question is, my friends, have you received him into your heart? Have you cried out to Jesus Christ, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner? Or have you merely Or have you merely carried on with your life as if there was no God, as if there was no judgment to come? Have you gone with the herd, gone with the crowd, gone on your way, and now at the verge of death? You see, the Bible tells us that there are many signs leading up to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That return is spoken of here in the Gospel of Matthew 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Every man according to his works. We have no works with which we can please God. There is nothing with which we can please God. We have no good works that are anything other than filthy rags. If I had a pile of filthy rags, I would burn them. They would be worthless. They would be of no use. But God says our good works, our charitable works, the good things that we think we do, the things that we think set us apart from others, are filthy rags. And we are fit only for burning in eternity in the fires of hell. Because hell is a real place, and there is a wrath to come, and there is a judgment to come. Now, the end of the age will come very swiftly upon the earth. The Bible speaks, I believe, and many Christians believe this quite clearly in Ezekiel 38 and Revelation, of a day when there is a battle called Armageddon. And it involves the nations of the earth coming against Jerusalem. Now, you may laugh, my friend, but today on the northern border of the Ukraine, mighty armies are massing. Mighty armies are massing. You see, I don't understand why people laugh. A nuclear war, one nuclear bomb, and no hull. This city ceases to exist. The Russian armies are massing on the northern border of the Ukraine. And this has only been partially reported in the mass media. But the Bible tells us quite clearly that one day those armies will sweep down into Israel, a mighty, overwhelming, innumerable multitude of heavily armored soldiers sweep down into the nation of Israel. And then God will defeat that army. No one else could do that. God will defeat that army. And do you know what? It says that in that day God's Spirit will be poured out upon the Jews, and they will all know that He is their God. They will know that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. They will know that Jesus Christ is the Jewish Messiah. They will know that He is the deliverer from sin. But you see, my dear friends, there are these great upheavals, terrible things that must take place on the earth. And you know, every single man, woman, and child in Hull could be wiped out in an instant if what Russia is doing today on the northern border of the Ukraine resulted in World War III. Or China's threats to take military action against Taiwan, for example. But the Bible focuses on Israel. It focuses on Jerusalem. We are living in prophetic times. And any one of us could die at any moment and stand before Almighty God. You see, the only question with the Duke of Edinburgh isn't whether he had fabulous wealth or extremely great privilege, or whether he was a good man or a bad man in the world's eyes. The only question is whether he knew Jesus Christ. And if we come to Jesus Christ, we must come without money and without price. The crown jewels cannot buy salvation. Houses and palaces and lands cannot buy salvation. But we can have salvation. The poorest man in the earth can have salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, because He purchased that salvation with His precious blood. You You see, Jesus Christ purchased salvation, and the cost, my friends, was more costly than all the jewels and all the lands and all the possessions and all the wonders and all the beauties of this world. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And when God sent his Son, and when it pleased the Lord to smite him, and when the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life, when the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life on the cross of Calvary, a price was paid for sin which exceeds all the prices, infinitely exceeds all the cost of anything else that there is. God the Father sends and gives his Son, Jesus Christ, who is both God and man, who comes into the world and who lays down his life, who gives himself a sacrifice for sin. And there it is, come without money and without price. You don't need the crown jewels. You don't need money. You must come to Jesus as you are. You must come to him in your sins. You must repent of your sin. You must turn from your sin. You must cry out to God, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Thomas, listen.
So you see, if the Duke of Edinburgh knows Jesus Christ, it isn't a matter of privilege. It's a matter of grace, God's mercy, God's love to the undeserving and sinners. But today the Lord Jesus Christ is set before you. What will you do? What will you do in the end? Will you turn from your sin? Will you lay hold of everlasting life by laying hold in your heart and in your head on the Lord Jesus Christ, looking to him alone, looking to him for mercy, because mercy can only be found in Jesus Christ. We can't be saved by works. We can only be saved by mercy when the eternal God of heaven and earth chooses in his loving mercy to deliver us, to save us. If you turn your back on Jesus Christ, if you turn your back on Jesus Christ, then you cannot be saved. If you turn your back on the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no one else who can help you. Jesus Christ is alive today, and the Lord Jesus Christ is near. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, is near at hand to those who call on him. You say, where is he? Well, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, is seated at the right hand of God on the throne of heaven today. The Lord Jesus in all the glory that belongs to God, and he will soon be revealed on the clouds of heaven as that eternal judge of you for your sin and your rebellion and your unbelief. Because God sees everything that goes on in every heart in Hull today. And the Lord Jesus will be revealed, but my dear friends, he is near at hand. If we call upon the Lord Jesus Christ with all our hearts, he hears us, and he will hear us, and he will have mercy on us. If we cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ to save us, he will save us. He looks at the heart, you see. Some of you today will have said a little prayer, believing that saying a little prayer would somehow save you. God says in his word, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. When a man or a woman or a child comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ, comes into a living, personal relationship with a living, loving Savior, the Savior of the world, it is a life-transforming thing. You see, Christians, true Christians are transformed by the power of Almighty God. Amen. Yes, that's how we are saved, when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And yeah, thank you very much. Matthew 16:3, let me read that. Matthew 16:3 says, and in the morning it will be foul weather, Today, for the sky is red and lowering. O you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? And indeed, there are living times. We are living in times, prophetic times. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ is very near at hand. The end of the age. And God's wrath will be poured out upon this generation. The Bible says, for the wrath of God is poured out upon all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And what a wicked generation we live in, a generation of blasphemers, a generation of the sexually immoral. The things that are going on in the world today, the sexual immoralities that are being promoted in our very schools to our little children, take the breath away in their wickedness, in their terror. Parents, why are you not defending your children? Why are you handing them over to the government? Why are you giving the government the authority to teach and train your children in perversions? Because children in their schools are being taught things which are against the law of God. Terrible things, horrible things, evil things, corrupting things. The little children are being sold the lie that they can change sex, which is an absolute lie and a damnable lie, one that will destroy them, one that will ruin them for the rest of their lives, a social experiment to keep the social experimenters happy. And we give our children over to these people and we say, oh, it's all right, they're in school, that's fine. The schools have become cesspits of iniquity. The schools have become breeding grounds for rebellion against God because they are taking little children and teaching them things which are an abomination to Almighty God. Dear friends, I cannot understand why the parents of this nation are not marching on Parliament and demanding that our children are taught wholesome things in the schools, taught the truth in the schools, taught righteousness in the schools. But above all, God requires us to teach our children this word, the Bible, which is God's word. And he holds us, he holds our teachers, he holds our governors, he holds our politicians, and above all, he holds our parents accountable for what is taught to our children. These are wicked days. These are iniquitous days. Jesus said it would be better for us to have a millstone cast around our, hung around our neck, and we be cast into the midst of the sea, than to put a stumbling block in the place of our children. Well, our government has put a stumbling block. You go home and defend your children from the government. You go home and defend your children from sexual immorality. You go home and stand up for your little ones and ensure that they are no longer being perverted and corrupted by perverted and corrupt individuals who have no concern for them whatsoever. You see, there's an awful lot being said in our land about slavery recently, and probably very rightly. But my dear friends, slavery is when one man claims to own another man, and the government claims ownership of our children, and the government claims ownership of us. Is there a new slavery in our land that we haven't spotted, that we haven't noticed? Have we all become slaves so easily? We need to turn back to God. We need to turn back to the Bible. We need to believe the Bible. We need to read the Bible. We need to search the scriptures, because they're able to make us wise unto salvation through faith alone, which is in Jesus Christ, not in Muhammad, not in Buddha, not in yourself, my friend. Jesus Christ is alive today. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world.
God knows, created for self-love.
God who made the heavens and the earth did so for his own glory, and he made us for his glory, but we have not honored him. We have sinned against him. We have broken his commandments. We have broken his laws. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death.
So we're all going to die.
Yeah, well, okay. Okay, so let me ask you the same question. Are you going to die?
Yeah.
When are you going to die?
Might be today.
Okay, so you know about those troops that are massing on the Ukrainian border?
No.
Okay, so you don't read the news, you don't follow it. Yes, no, in Russia. Okay, so how far away from are we from World War III? Okay. Any of us could die at any time.
You could die right now?
I could die right now, but if I die right now, I'll go straight to heaven, because because the Lord Jesus Christ has saved me from my sin. But if you die in your sins, you will go straight to hell for eternity. That's what Jesus taught us. That's what the Bible taught us, because we are not fit for heaven, because God is holy and God will not allow what is corrupt into his heaven. You told a lie. God won't allow liars into his heaven.
I'm a Muslim.
Well, being a Muslim won't save you, because there's no sacrifice. It won't save you because it's not God's way of salvation.
Okay.
Do you want to hear the answer to the question?
Yes.
Okay. Being a Muslim won't save you because there is no sacrifice for sin in Islam. The sacrifice for sin, the one who takes away the sin of the world, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Islam doesn't have that, so Islam cannot help you. Islam is a religion of salvation by works. Right now is Ramadan, isn't it? Okay? And the Muslims think they will please God by fasting and doing these things. But the Bible says you can't please God. You can't be saved by those things. Your fasting and all of these things carry no currency with God whatsoever. It is believing on Jesus Christ that saves someone. Well, the Bible says that we need to repent of our sin and turn to Jesus Christ. You see? Because the Bible makes it out that it's a type of behavior, and it's a type of behavior which is not God's standard of behavior. Therefore, it's sin. You see, we're not born. We're not. Yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. You see, we're not born gay. It's been scientifically absolutely proven. It has been absolutely proven that you are not born gay. It's a choice. It's a life choice, and it's a form of sin. And even so, even if you're gay, you also do all these other sins: sexual immorality, which is part of that, and you do you lie, you swear, you steal. All of us are sinners, and the truth is.
No, my thing is, I've got cool sunglasses. I'm fine.
I get the sex before marriage thing. You know, like that's alright. But like, why not?
Well, the Bible says it's against nature. It calls it inordinate affection. It calls it inordinate affection. It's not what God has made us for. God has made us for his own glory.
You're a Christian, but you're gay.
Well, you can't be a Christian and be gay. You have to repent of your homosexuality in order to become a Christian. You see, God's offer of salvation is open to all, you see. God's offer of salvation is open to all. That includes gay people and non-gay people. But the fact is, every single one of us, to come into the kingdom of God, which is the most important thing that there is, we must repent of our sin, and we must turn.
Right, scream it!
We must repent of our sin, and if we repent of our sin, okay, you're going to have to come on God's terms, and God says it's sin, and if God calls it abomination.
I understand your religion.
No, it's not religion. It's not religion. It's a person. It's Jesus Christ. It's knowing a living person, and Jesus Christ is a living person who is alive today, and he will save you if only you repent. But you need to repent. You need to acknowledge your sin before God, because if you don't, you'll die in your sin and you'll go to hell, and you don't want to go there, believe me. Except that I think most people do want to go there, because that's what it's like when we're sinners. Well, my dear friends, we've been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've been setting before the world that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Somebody said, what about Islam? It's Jesus who saves, because he's the only one who's paid the penalty for sin. And he was the only one who could pay the penalty for sin. You see, nobody else could do that. No one at all can take away the sin of the world but the Lord Jesus Christ. And his blood makes the foulest clean. So the Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall have life, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. That's as far as we can take it today. feel tired and I feel very sad, and I feel that, well, what can you do? People are so far from God, and people are so far from knowing the truth. It's just so sad to see them. And hardly a friendly face, but all perishing and laughing. So many people laughing at the gospel, so many people laughing at the truth. If only people would turn back. Lord, have mercy upon the town of Hull. Have mercy upon the people here. Oh, Lord, if you were to come down in a moment and bring conviction of sin. Oh, Lord, if you were to open the floodgates of heaven and people felt your presence, then they would be on their faces weeping and mourning before you. Oh, Lord, that you would do this very thing, that the Holy Spirit would come down now upon the city of Hull, and that the people who are living in darkness would see a great light. Oh, Lord, that they would go home and not be able to shake off what they've heard, but the conviction would grow and that their hearts would be turned to you for salvation. Have mercy, Lord Jesus. Have mercy, eternal God. Rise up and have mercy upon this city and upon this nation. And this we ask and pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.